the best version of you. I want to talk about today how you can be the best you. A couple of quotes, they're in your notes, but we also have a slide by Oscar Wilde. He says this, "Be yourself, everyone else is taken." It's kind of a cute statement, but listen, have you ever wished or wanted to live somebody else's life? We all have. I have. Wouldn't it be great if I was this other person? And wouldn't it be great if I could do what they do? But here's the truth, folks. Everybody else is taken. And God says you are you, so be yourself in the process. Now, here's a quote by Ronald Reagan. It's also in your notes. "Never let the things you can't do stop you from doing what you can do." You may be here today and you say, wow, maybe because of age or limitations, you're saying, it's different season of my life. But never let what you can't do stop you from doing what you're still able to do. Great wisdom in that quote. But today I just want to talk about how can you become the best version of yourself? And what I'd like to do is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, I want to talk about five steps, five insights, five truths, that when you and I practice and apply these truths to our life, you know what the end result is? Listen closely. You will become the best version of you. There's no greater prize before God and our world is when you become all that you're created to become. It's your potential. It's your future. It's what God wills you to be. Sometimes we have to stretch, but he wants you to become the best version of you because everybody else is taken. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to jump in. Five things. Step number one is this. Go deep in discipleship. Go deep in discipleship. In Matthew 4:19, Jesus called Peter and Andrew. You know what he said? Three words. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. Here it is. If you want to become the best you, you have to lean into the relationship with Jesus himself. It's called discipleship. It's called growing. It's learning who he is and who you are. Read with me verse 42. In your notes. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Circle the word devoted. Here's what they did. The word devoted means to continue to do something with intense effort. If you want to become the best you, there's some intensity in your life that will have to be lived out to achieve that. It means to stay in a fixed direction, to attend to something constantly. They devoted themselves to this thing called discipleship. Jesus said, come, follow me. So you and I have to lean into following. Now, the question is, how then can we become deeper in our connection with Jesus? So in your notes, I got three simple examples. Letter A, your daily devotions. Here's a question. How broad or how deep is your time with God in the morning or afternoon or evening? Because it's in that very place where you go deep. Letter B, attending church. You know, some people say, well, I'll get to church periodically. And they kind of have a hit-and-miss approach. Others are regular. You're here today. When you come to church, let me tell you what happens. Hopefully you'll hear something through music or through the message or when you're with other people that will be a truth spoken into your life that will change you, that you'll feel lifted up, you'll feel challenged by. You are on the road to become a better version of you. Church is meant to do that. Letter C, study groups. We do life groups, and there's different activities in the community and opportunities. But when you're a part of studying the scriptures with somebody else, you know what happens? You're going to grow and change. And you go deeper in your relationship. Now, let me tell you the benefit of this. It's this. When you push hard in the relationship or lean into that with Christ, you find out your identity. Your identity. I'll have Jake put that slide up. Your identity is what you're looking for. You want to know what your life purpose is. You want to know how to figure marriage out. You want to know how to raise kids. You want to know how to be a grandparent. You want to know how to get along with people at the office, in your family. And when you lean into your relationship with God through Christ, let me tell you, you're going to find out who you are. Now listen, in the absence of that, you're pretty much just living life to survive. There's many people in Walton who they're just surviving. God wants us to thrive. He wants us to know our identity, and we find out who we are in our relationship with Him. Now, here's a picture. I love this one. It pretty much summarizes it all. They say there's no two fingerprints alike in the world. There's like 8 billion people out there. They say that your eyes have such a fingerprint, so to speak, that it's so unique to you that at airports, they will do a scan of your eyes and they will be able to identify you compared to any other person. That's the uniqueness of who you are. Now, in the middle of this fingerprint, your uniqueness is a cross. Your identity is found in your spiritual relationship with Christ as you just read His word and you go deep into discipleship. If you're trying to figure your life out, your life's purpose, what God wants to do with you, and we just came through the dream series, if you're trying to figure that out, go deeper, let me tell you, your uniqueness is blended with the cross. And your identity is found in Him. After all, He created us. He redeemed us. He knows all about us. He's our God and our Father. So, point number one, how do you become the best version of yourself? Go deep in your discipleship and relationship with Christ. Number two, the second thing we find in this text is this. We must step into the supernatural. We step into the supernatural. Read with me verse 43 in your notes. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Circle the word awe. It means to reverence or to respect. It's an awe factor of when God is at work in your life. He answers prayers. He does something that you can't explain. It's His hand. It's His working in your life. They say, you know what? The only way I can explain that is God did that for me. You know what it is? It's the supernatural. Now, there's two ways to live life. One is when you're in the natural. We all have a body and a spirit. We're human. And we live life within that natural realm. Many people alive on planet Earth today are living in the natural. Now listen, here's the secret. There's something else in life called the supernatural. This is when the Spirit of God begins to live in us and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, it says there were wonders and miraculous signs being done. Here's what was going on. The supernatural was released through the faith of the believers, and all of a sudden, amazing things start happening. You may be here today and you say, wow, I'm hungry for something new. Let me tell you the benefit of the supernatural. Here it is. You experience aliveness. When you cross the line of living outside the natural and you allow God to be a part of who you are, let me tell you, life can become alive. If you're here today and you feel pretty stale, kind of dry, kind of humdrum, life's mechanical, can I tell you, chances are the supernatural needs to be released in your life in a new way. And it's through faith. He'll do it for anyone who believes. And so we find here that aliveness is a result of our faith in Christ. Now, whenever we have this faith factor, understand that the natural is the natural, but the supernatural is when we cross over and we say, God, you work in me and through me. The past 20 to 23 years of the church, there's been many supernatural things done in the life of the church family, individual lives as well as collectively. But you are a candidate. God has chosen and purposed you to live in a supernatural realm. What's that mean? There's times where you need him to do something you cannot do yourself. That's the supernatural. And that's his business. It's what he specializes in. And when you and I live there, and oftentimes we'll get stretched, we say, God, how can that happen in my life or in the life of the church or in the community? But we, by faith, believe that he can do something extraordinary through ordinary people. I have to say, I'm excited about the rest of 2023. November, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. Good things happen during those couple of months. But you know what? For 24, I'm looking forward to that already. That the supernatural would somehow be released among us, and God would just continue to do acts and wonders and signs that we can't explain except because of his presence. So number one, go deep in discipleship, find your identity. Number two, step into the supernatural. It's faith. It's releasing the Spirit of God at work within you. The benefit is aliveness. Number three, third thing about becoming the best version of you is this. Have a generous lifestyle. Read with me verses 44 and 5 on the back side of your sermon listing guide. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. I want you to circle the word gave. And here's the word I want you to write. Draw an arrow, whatever. Write this word down. Redistributing. You see, the person who lives a generous lifestyle lives with an open hand. What does that mean? Everything God has given to them, they are willing to share it. Compared to a person who grasps it with a clenched fist. Now, you know, Jesus warned against greed in the Bible. He says, be alert, be aware. Man's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. But he says, listen, the way you push back on greed, listen, is if you're willing to live open-handed. It's the only way that keeps the hand from tightening up is when you give. Now, I put in here three areas of giving. The first is your time. The question is, how much time do you have on the plate of your life? Everybody's got a full plate. Let's just be honest. We're all busy. But how much time do you have on the plate of your life for your daily devotions or to serve other people in a ministry that can help them? Time's a big deal. Letter B, your talents. Everybody's got something, but here's the question. Are you using your gifts and ability in some defined ministry? Your talents, what you're good at, to be a blessing to other people. Listen, you got to live open-handed. Be willing to redistribute your time and your talents. Let her see your treasures. This involves your money. It's the material things of life. And let me say that money, whether it's tithes and offerings or whatever it is, how tight do we hang on to the material possessions of life. Because the tighter we hold them, here's what happens, we're not willing to live open-handed, and greed controls us. And our money controls us rather than if we are willing to give, redistribute what God has given to us. All of a sudden, our hand is open, and through tithes or offerings or helping people, we're just willing to give God what he's given to us. Now, let me tell you the end result of this. As a benefit, you feel fulfilled. Fulfilled. You see, if you're here this morning and you feel kind of stale on the inside, if you feel like you're kind of clammed up and you don't feel real good about yourself, here's a gut question. It's like a test to your own spirit. How much are you redistributing of your time and talent and treasure? Because if you're willing to live with an open hand, can I tell you the end result? It's called fulfillment. The people that are the happiest people in life are the people who are most generous. You know, there's something more exciting and rewarding than receiving $100 or any amount of a gift. You know what that is? It's when you're able to give it. There's a greater sense of fulfillment when you can give it, not just receive it. I mean, that's fun too. Who's going to turn that down? But let me tell you, the greater fulfillment is when you and I are willing to redistribute what God has given to us. Our time, our talents, our treasures, what he's poured into our life. Here's a quote here. I have found that among its other benefits, giving liberates the soul of the giver. If you want to feel liberated this week, just give something away. Maybe your time, could be your talent, helping someone, or maybe it's just a little bit of money, whatever. Give it away. And let me tell you, that will just liberate you on the inside. You will become a better version of you when you live a generous lifestyle. Number four. Here's the fourth thing that is another step in the process. Spend time with people who are further along spiritually. Spend time with people who are further along spiritually. Read with me verses 46 and 7 in your notes. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Here's what they did. They met together on the Sabbath. We would call it Sunday for church. And then they would meet in somebody's home during the week. You know what they did? They broke bread together. They studied the word. They just had this rhythm in their life. Now, I want you to notice something. It says they enjoyed the favor of all the people. Do you realize that God wants you to enjoy your life? He does. It can be so mechanical at times, and I've been there, you have, but he wants us to enjoy the favor of him as well as other people. The word enjoy means to have a cheery state of mind. Can you imagine? You wake up in the morning and have a cheery state of mind. You enjoy your life. Now, there's a quote in your notes. Jim Rohn says this: you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I want you to take this principle and say, who am I hanging with that's making a difference in my life? Because we need to be exposed to people who are higher spiritually or who are more, they're better in a certain area than I am. I thoroughly enjoy my life group. You know why? There's people there that are way further down the road than I am. I learn from them. And the more you expose your life to people who are further along in different areas, let me tell you, the better person you're going to become. Here's the benefit. The benefit is you will improve your life. You want to become the best version of you? Just spend time with some really cool people that are further along in some area and learn from them. Be a learner all your life. Don't check out if you're 70 or 80 or 60 or 50. Be a learner as long as you go forward. You know why? You improve your life. Now here's a secret. Here's a quote. A little progress each day adds up to big results. Don't go for the big bang all in one day or all in one week. Go for 1% or 2% every day. And then that 1% or 2% compounds, and by the time you get to the end, you got a big result happening. Improve yourself. So spend time with people who are further along with you spiritually or in other areas. Okay. And finally, number five. The fifth thing is this. Share your faith story. Read with me verse 47b in your notes. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Circle the word saved. That means people who have been rescued from sin's penalty. They've crossed over from death to life. They found faith in Christ. They've been rescued. They've been saved. Now here's the big question. In the Bible says that in one day about 3,000 people got saved. It's quite a response. But you know how that happened? Somebody shared their faith story. Now, there's empty seats here this morning. There's plenty of people in Walton to fill these seats. But you know how they're going to get filled? Somebody's got to share your faith story with somebody else. And the more you do that, the greater the blessing on your life, and you become a better you. Now, read with me Romans 10:15 in your notes. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at the person next to you, and then I want you to look at their feet. And I want you to say this to them. You have got some good-looking feet, all right? Hey, that went over better than I thought it would. That's great. Listen, your feet are beautiful. You know why? You can share a faith story that can change somebody's eternal destiny going forward. It can not only do that, it can help their current life. When they come to understand the message of Christ and forgiveness and grace, all of a sudden their life can be transformed. We are the carriers. We are the ambassadors. We are the representatives God uses to tell other people the story of faith. Now, here's the benefit. You add value to other people. You may be here today, and you say, you know, I'm still trying to figure out my life's purpose. Listen closely. This is part of it. From this day forward, I want you to have a mindset that includes this. Whatever person you see, whether it's family when you get up in the morning, they're there. Or then when you get out to go to work, or wherever you go, listen, make a commitment today that you're going to add value to them. What does that mean? It's the words you speak. Maybe it's just encouragement. Maybe it's an act of kindness. Maybe it's just a smile when they come through the door. And you don't even say a word. You're adding value to people's lives. Now, when you do that, you are making a huge impact in people's lives. I got to share this. There's some people's lives you step into, and when you're done with the conversation, they've subtracted from you. Follow me? I think everybody gets that. I mean, you have a conversation with them and you say, whoa. And you feel like when they leave, there's something, you've just lost something. On the other hand, there's some people, when you're in their presence and you talk with them, you just communicate with them, you leave there and I tell you, they add value. Be a person that adds value. Make a decision today that every person you meet tomorrow, at home, at work, you're going to add value to them. And there will be times where you get to share your faith story. You don't always have that opportunity, but you can always add value to people by how you treat them, by how you speak to them, by how you respond to them. And when you do that, listen, you are becoming the best version of you that God has purposed for you to live out. Here's a quote. Success is when I add value to myself. Significance is when I add value to others. You want to live a life of significance for every day that you have left on this planet Earth? Go out and add value to people. That will bring significance into your life. And you'll not only help other people, you'll help yourself. So five simple steps. Let me review them. We'll close out. You want to be the best version of you possible? Go deep in discipleship. In other words, your relationship with Jesus himself. Come follow me. You got to lean into that with some intensity. And you know what's going to happen? The more you do that, you're going to find your identity of who you are and what he's called you to do. That's where you discover that. Number two, step into the supernatural. The supernatural. In other words, if God through the Holy Spirit lives within me and he can do what I cannot, I'm going to release it by faith. I want to be a part of the wonders, the miraculous signs, the things that he can do that I can't. Individually and even as a church, I want to live in that place. It's the supernatural experience. I'm going to go back and have Jake put a statement up there. I missed it when I was going through it before. Under number two, Jake, it's the faith statement. It says, faith meets no challenge or obstacle too great, for it brings the limitless, unequaled power of God against it. You're here today, and you may be struggling greatly with something. And the reason it's such a struggle is it's still in the natural. And you have to lean into his word and say, wait a minute, with faith, God is greater, bigger, stronger than the struggle I'm facing. It brings aliveness to our life. Number three, have a generous lifestyle. And I want to say a word of thanks to the church family for the amazingly generous people in this church. I mean, what a blessing to be a pastor of a church full of people who are generous in so many ways. Let me tell you, that just warms my heart. It's a real privilege for Jack and myself. But listen, redistribute. Allow God to redistribute what he's given to you and live life with an open hand. You know what's going to happen if you do that? You're going to feel fulfilled like never before. Just because you're open-handed to share what he's given to you to make your life count. And then number four, spend time with people who are further along spiritually. In other words, the people you rub shoulders with, intentionally get with them that maybe know more or been there, done that, have more experience in certain areas, and you learn from them. The end result or the benefit, you improve your life. You become a better you because you're growing and learning. And then finally, number five, share your faith story. Let me say, church family, going forward, this is one area we've got to focus on and get good at. There's some things we all struggle with to share our faith story, but churches that are growing live in the supernatural and they're willing to share their faith story so that other people figure life out. And we're just vessels of connection in God's big picture. So what we do is we add value to other people. I want you to make a decision today. We're going to pray in a moment. Be a person that consciously, intentionally will add value to every person you meet every day. Do it the best you can. It'll make a difference in their life and yours. And then finally, here's the final quote. There's only one you. There will never be another you. So the best way that you be the best you that you can be. In other words, there's only one of you. Everybody else is taken. But you are you, and be the best you that you can be. And as you do these five things, practice it over and over, you will become a better version of yourself. Let's pray. I want you to take just a few moments and in your own heart before God, just offer yourself. Step one is how intense are you in your followership of Christ? I mean, are you looking for a deeper identity? Just make a commitment that you want to go after it. Number two, are you living in the supernatural? That's where the Holy Spirit does miracles. It's where God's power is at work. Step across that line and say, God, I want more of it. I want to be alive on the inside. Number three, a generous lifestyle. Are you willing to redistribute what God has given to you? Live with an open hand, your time, your talent, your treasures, and let him just bless other people through you. The end result's fulfillment. Number four, life groups, study groups. Do you spend time with other people to learn from them? God will bring somebody to mind or some opportunity where he wants to better you just because you're open to learn. It'll improve your life. And lastly, offer yourself to share your faith story with somebody this week. And God will bring somebody to mind even today that he'll bring across your path, and he'll want you to be his mouthpiece. Add value to other people. Father, we come and we just surrender ourselves to you, and we pray that you will take our offering, our lives, and that you will do something amazing and new and fresh in each of us, that we can become a better version of ourselves. We want to be better. We want to grow. We want to mature. We want to be a difference maker in the kingdom of God on our earthly journey. So take us individually. Take us as a congregation. We offer ourselves and pray that through your favor, oh God, you'll make us the best version of ourselves possible. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.